been hearing amazing feedback about just walking across the room. And it's been challenging, but it's also been very practical. It's amazing how it's been speaking to me on many different levels. It's been speaking to me about a few things we're going to share with you this morning. Okay, so it's the third message this morning. Is everybody awake? Are you here? You are here. One or two are here. Okay, because we're going to go for a brain bender right out of the blocks. We're going to get you awake. Are you ready to go? Okay, here's how it will work. We're going to I'm going to say a word. It's going to appear on the screen. Then you must turn to the person next to you, and you need to tell them the first thing that pops into your head when you see it. So you must shoot from the gut. Shoot from the gut. It must be like instantaneous. You mustn't think about it. Okay, so just figure out which way you're going to go with which way. Come on. Okay, you must get a partner. You're not allowed to. You must have somebody next to you. Okay, so it's a little word association that we're going to be doing, and your response can be anything, okay? But the idea is you must capture your gut instinct. Okay, are you ready? Everybody ready? Okay, first one, Mona. Okay, speak to the person next to you. Okay. I'm sure we got a few Lisas. Okay, so some of you are catching on. Okay, next one, Curry Cup Final. Stormers, Western Province. Rion saying Lions. Okay, next one. Holiday. Okay, next one. Diet. Okay, next one. Iron. I hope you all said Iron Man 3. Come on. Robert Downey Jr. is the Iron Man. That's a great movie, eh? Okay, here's a good one. President. Lord have mercy. Okay, last one. Born again Christian. What's your response? Okay, let's park it there for a moment. If we could, did you guys say something about the last one? It's a little quieter there. But if we could electronically tabulate everything that was said, it'll be and floated it, which was floating around the room, then it'll give us a fascinating idea of what people would think about born again. And if we would do the same, now imagine we'd go outside the church and we would do the same thing with 100 people that were far from God, and we'd flash that to them. What would their response be? What would they say? If we would ask them, do you know any born-again Christians? If so, what are they like? What are your general impressions of them? It might get interesting, don't you think? We could get an earful of a few interesting perceptions. Things like, I've come across a few Christians, and the ones I know are, how do I describe them? They're just so uptight, narrow, and rigid. Some people might say that. Or, I went to school with one once. He was pretty isolated, kept to himself all the time. Or, I don't know any of them very well. They hang with their own type. Certainly don't rub shoulders with people like me. Or what about, I know a born-again Christian. What a turn-off she is. I feel judged even if I even inhale wrong. She's so self-righteous, stuck up, and just absolutely egotistical. Some people might say that. Christians, classic simpletons, they on perpetual crutches. You know what I mean? They throw their nice little Bible verses at the world's most complex issues. Give me a break. Well, I hope people are not saying these things. But maybe they are. Maybe these are some of the perceptions out there about people like us. But even if there are just a few of people out there who have these perceptions, couldn't we figure out a way to stop the bleeding? To change perceptions, at least where we find ourselves. Could we change the perceptions that people might actually say something different about people like us? Why? Why would we want to do this? Because God's heart beats for people far from Him. His heart beats for them. And so here's a few things that I wish. I wish that whenever I struck up a casual conversation with people and asked them to tell me what they think of the Christ followers they know, the first thought that would come to mind would be something like, Christians. Can't say it's true for them all, but the ones I know are full of integrity. Imagine somebody that's not a believer say, no, this might not be true for everyone, but the ones I know are full of integrity. That's what distinguishes them, their integrity and their moral courage. Imagine the world saying these things about us. Or Christians, the ones I've come across are ridiculously filled with compassion. They're just plain kind to people. Imagine people start saying that about us. Or Christians, they tell the truth. They shoot straight with you. Or Christians, they have concern for the poor. No one cares for the poor like Christians do. Imagine people saying that of us. Or Christians, they're humble people, they're honest, they have this incredible inner strength. Or they are radically inclusive of people, regardless of their background, their preferences, their lifestyle choices, you name it. It's amazing. They're radically inclusive. Not like if I just breathe wrong, I feel judged. Unfortunately, some people make you feel like that. Or what about Christians? Like, they're always taking walks across the room. Whenever somebody needs a little encouragement or friendship, Christians are the first ones to make the move. How about being known for that? If there's somebody down and out, somebody alone, somebody who needs some help or hope, we're the ones to make the move. Or Christians, they really do love well. They love God, they love people, and they love those Iron Man movies. Just kidding, okay? But imagine that people would start speaking about us in that way. Speaking about you in that way. That you are someone of integrity. You love well. You are kind. You are humble. You speak straight. They know they can trust you. I also wish that people would say of us that whenever Christ followers talk about God, that they are so clear. Clear. They are so unbelievably pumped up about Him. You should just hear them talk about their own faith journeys. They're always so humble, but yet so interesting to listen to. Would you also wish for that? So that's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. I hope you're answering yes to that, because we're going to be speaking about how to communicate like a walk across the room person. Are you communicating like a walk across the room person? Two questions we want to answer. How do we talk about God in a way that's full of clarity and passion? How do we talk about God full of clarity and passion? And secondly, how do we convey our personal faith stories in a way that's humble and interesting? Just those two things. How can we be clear about God's story? How can we be clear about our story? Okay, so the first point, you should have some notes there. I don't know, did they give you notes? Hope they did. First point, stories are powerful. That's the first point you can write down. Stories are powerful. It's undeniable. Right through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find that stories are powerful. Words are powerful. Can I flood your consciousness here for a moment with a few reminders of how supremely useful, incomparably potent, how supernaturally empowered words can be? So I'm going to read a few verses from Scripture to convey the power of a word. The first one is Ecclesiastes 6:11. It says that when used sparingly, briefly, words carry great meaning. Words carry great meaning. Psalm 119 verse 130 says that words can actually give light. Your words can give light. It can bring understanding. Proverbs 12:18 says that although reckless words pierce like a sword, words from the tongue of the wise can actually bring healing. Your words can bring healing. There's power in our words. Proverbs 17:27 says that when used with restraint, words prove you're a person of knowledge. Ecclesiastes 9:17 says that words you speak will be heeded when they're spoken quietly. Proverbs 16:24 says that pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Isn't that a beautiful image? Pleasant words like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and brings healing to the bones. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says that although a fool is consumed by his own lips, the words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. Gracious. Deuteronomy 32:2 says words can actually descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. So our words can be like rain that descends upon people that bring new life. Words, humble words, healing words, wise words, gentle words, grace-filled words. Are you known for speaking words like these? Are you known for speaking words like these? If we had to give an anonymous quiz to your family members or friends, tell me about Ashley. Does she speak words of grace? What would your family say about you? Ashley, yes. What were your last words this morning before you came into this building? What were the last words you spoke to somebody? Quickly think. Was it graceful? Was it kind? Was it encouraging? Now, I'm sure if it was a mom and a dad with a few kids, it could have been rough. If you don't get into the car right now, I will spank you. So that might have been your last words. Spanking is good. But can you be counted on to speak words of encouragement and grace? Because again, this is, how do people see us? How do people who are far from God see us? And even if the people close to us, if even the people close to us do not experience us to have words filled with grace, how will people far from us? Interesting, Bill Hybels shares in his book, a waitress emailed him about a restaurant where she's working. And she says that on Sundays after the church service, all the Christians from all different churches flock to that one restaurant. And she says the waiters hate it. They say the people that come here, they tip the least. They stick a pamphlet under your nose. They are extremely impatient, irritable, and demanding. Not kind. So she says basically they're all fighting to not be on that shift because the Christians, how do people see us? When you go to a restaurant, what do you focus on? I want my briki. I want it now. This coffee, you know, it's not hot enough or whatever. And then you can do it kindly. Do we do it kindly? How do you speak to people in restaurants? Are we so obsessed with my little deal that we're not focused on here's somebody that might be far from God and they might just realize I'm a Christian and I might just form in their minds their perception of believers? Makes you think, doesn't it? It definitely is making me think. It seems to me that if we could find a way to use words for good in people's lives, if we could be known for being clear and humble and concise and relevant, that we might just frustrate the heck out of all these negative perceptions. If we can start communicating in a way that's graceful, but also that's clear and humble and relevant, we could start turning this thing around. So you be your own judge. But in my opinion, there are two primary areas where effective, efficient words could exponentially improve perceptions about Christ followers. The first area revolves around how we talk about God, explaining who He is and what He's done. Okay, that's the first area. Second area revolves around how we talk about our personal experiences with God, explaining the main thing He's done in our lives. So the question to you is, what's God's story? And what's your story? And do you know how to tell both well? Do you know how to tell them well? Just imagine that somebody that you've spoken to would respond, I actually understood what the Christian said. And I want that part of my life. I want that. Okay, so you're ready to tackle it. Point number two, God has a story. Learn to tell it well. God has a story. Learn to tell it well. Okay, so this past week we discovered that if you decide to take a walk across a room, it's important to focus on developing friendship instead of just saying your bit. Okay, so you want to develop friendship instead of saying your bit, which is really important. Then secondly, to discover the person's story. So you actually want to hear their story before you tell your story. So you can build, we've been speaking about that the last few weeks. And then thirdly, you want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know what are the next steps. What are the next steps in this person's life? So you want to live in 3D, okay? 3D. Stephen spoke about it last week, spoke about it in the small groups this past week. Now, if you start living like that, you start taking walks across the room, you start building friendships with people, you start listening to their stories, you look at what are the next steps, maybe a book or a CD or a thing or an invite. If you build that relationship, there's a very good chance that God's going to open doors for you to speak into that person's life the story of God. Hearts will open when people feel true and experience true love. Hearts will open. God's going to blow open those doors. So imagine somebody from work coming to you, or somebody you've known for a while come to you and ask you. You know, we've been, come to Jimmy, my wife and I, you know, we've been far from the Lord, far from God. We've not really been interested in this religious stuff, you know. I want to thank you, not only for pushing your stuff on me, your religious things. But, you know, we're really battling. Our marriage is going, you know, it's really battling. And so we've decided as a last ditch effort to save our marriage, we're going to give this God thing a try. But now before we come, could you just shortly share with me why are people so into this God thing? Just tell me, why should I get involved or why should I go to church? Just quickly tell me. How would you respond? If somebody comes to you, would you suddenly get all sweaty and unsure and your mouth would go dry? and not unsure what to say, or would you actually have an answer to share with them? And so I want to help you this morning, so you will know what to say to them. And when somebody comes to you like that, it's in sophisticated theological terms, it's called a wide open door. Are you then ready? Do you know what to say? Will you take a hold of the opportunity that God is giving to you? Now, some of us, maybe we're not that thrilled, but I'm going to give you a great illustration of what you could share with somebody about God's story. Now, there are many different examples of this, but you need to find your own, but I just want to give you one. Now, it's called The Bridge. Okay, so what you can do is you can take out a piece of paper or write on a cocktail napkin or something. You can, in a restaurant, you can ask the person, can I just write this? I just want to draw a diagram for you to explain this whole thing. So then you'll start off with this, and then you'll, first off, we need to make sure we understand there are two beings which are real. The one's people, and the other one's God. Okay, so we know that we have people, and we know that we've got God. Now, in the middle, we've got this chasm. What's the chasm? This represents people rebelling against the will of God. Sort of in our nature, you have the will of God, we rebel against the will of God, we go our own way, and the Bible calls this sin. And sin causes this chasm. So this, unfortunately, we are, as people, we are unable to jump over the chasm. And so what people normally do is we try to, through our own effort, through our own ability, we try to build a bridge to God. But with all the human effort in the world, we are unable to build that bridge. And so God saw us in our predicament. He realized we are unable to move across this chasm. We are unable to build our own bridge. And because He loves us so much, He made a plan. Without God, we find ourselves in the dump, far from God, found ourselves in sin. But then God made a plan, and He sent His Son Jesus to come to earth, to become a man, and to become the bridge for us. So you draw there the cross. And there you have the bridge. So it's extremely simple. And then you explain basically to a person that every person that chooses to put their trust in Christ, who chooses to walk across that bridge, they will receive eternal life in God. And then you can also determine, ask the person, where are they on this scale in terms of trusting in the Lord. So there's a very basic example, but it explains to somebody how this works. John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. He has crossed over from death to life. So something very basic, but it will help somebody just to lodge something in somebody's mind. Now this, the whole concept of the bridge really spoke to me. When we came to East London about almost 5 years ago, within the first few months, we had a prayer meeting. I think it was a Monday evenings, and it was at our home. And one evening, I was praying with some other people, and I had an incredible experience with God. I just experienced the compassion of God upon my life for somebody. And I saw a picture in my mind's eye. I saw the same type of thing. I saw a chasm. I saw a rickety little bridge across the chasm. I saw a man on this side who wanted to cross over but couldn't. He had so much baggage on his back that he couldn't get over this little bridge, but he wanted to. And I remember that as I was praying for this person, I saw like in this picture in my mind's eye, I saw like an angel coming, taking off the baggage and then leading him across the bridge. I didn't understand it. I must say, this has only happened to me once ever. That it's such an experience. And then I forgot about it. The next day, I was just, during the morning, I just remembered about a guy. I know I've met his brother. And I heard that this guy is in East London. And he ran away from the Lord. He was in one of our churches in Pretoria. He found himself in significant sinful relationships. And he ran to East London to get away from the church and God. And so I phoned him. I've never met this guy. His brother told me he won't speak to you. I phoned him and he said, and we just chatted, and the guy said to me, yeah, no, cool, we can go drink a cup of coffee. So we went to Vincent Mug and Bean, and we're there, we're just having a cup of coffee. And while I was sitting there, the God spoke to me in my heart and said to me, this is him. Were you praying for last night? This is him. And it was amazing. As we were sitting there, God touched him. He started to weep there at the table. And we went to his car afterwards, prayed with him, led him to the Lord. They returned to God. And then we went to the beach. Yeah, Bonza Bay, Beacon Bay, to the beach there. And it was just the two of us on the beach. And just took him into the water. I remember he just fell on his knees and was crying out to God to deliver him because he was so bound in this sinful activity that he really needed God. It was amazing as I took him into the waves and I baptized him. When he came out, he was a different man. He broke off those ungodly relationships and started to serve the Lord. Now, I cannot explain to you how that feels to be used of God to lead somebody that was trying to get over this bridge, to be used of God to pray for him, meet with him, and then lead him across that bridge. It's the highest high. It's my highlight of the year, of 5 years. Somebody that you can lead to the Lord. And so, are we ready for that? Are we desiring that? I know many of us are. We want that. And I believe God wants to establish this in our hearts to equip us to lead people across that bridge. From death into life. It was so beautiful this morning. We were singing that song, my life song. What is our life song? What is your life song? Is it leading people to God? I know that's what God wants. That's what God desires. Anyway, so Bill Hybels shared that he met with a friend of his, Dave. Now, those who were in the small groups, you would have watched a bit about Super Dave. And there was a guy that Bill Hybels was walking with for about six, seven, 8 years. And at one stage, he's done everything. He's built a relationship. He has invested in him. He shared with him the things about Christianity. And he still hadn't crossed over. So he invited him to a restaurant, and they had breakfast. And then again, he said, "I just want to find out where are you on this diagram." So he drew this for him, and he asked him, "Now, are you not over here? You know, are you still on your way to making that decision, or maybe you're over there? Maybe you are over there. Are you ready to take that step, or are you over there?" And then Dave responded to him, "Sorry, Bill, but you know, if I'm over here in the next booth, man, I'm not ready." And Bill Hybels says when he drove home, he was saying, "Yeah, this guy's a tough nut to crack." But he believed that when he's obedient to God, that and he does these type of things, it would establish something in his friend's mind. And that's exactly what happened. He shared this with him, and this guy came to the Lord not long after then. So I just want to encourage you. Take that step with somebody. Don't be afraid. You can just say, "I just want to know where you are at. Just want to know, where are you at? I just want to explain to you again with clarity what it's all about. Okay. So are you doing your 3D, walking that path with people? Okay, so God wants us to use humble words, healing words, wise words, gentle words, grace-filled words. You and I cannot transform somebody's heart, but we can share something simple. You know, you can use your own. You don't have to use this. There are a few other examples in the book, Walk Across the Room, but there's also many other examples of ways you can share the gospel with somebody. It's only the Holy Spirit that can transform somebody's heart. Maybe somebody's here this morning. Maybe you're still on this side. You can walk across. You can also walk across. Okay, that point number two is God has a story. Learn to tell it well. Third point, you have a story. Learn to tell it well. Do you realize that you have a story? If you've committed your life to Jesus, you have a story, a powerful story. And your job is to learn to tell it well. Do you believe that you have a powerful story? Do you believe that you have a powerful story? If you have come into relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you have a wonderful redemptive story to tell. Why? Because hopefully you were different before Christ than you are after Christ invaded your world. Would you agree? Are you different? Who's different, before and after? Absolutely. You cannot meet God, you cannot meet Christ and not have a transformation happening in your life. I would doubt you meeting Christ if there's not a significant change that happened. Now, if we quickly look at the guy in Luke chapter 5, he had leprosy. In the Message version of the text, it says, one day, in one of the villages, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him in prayer and said, if you want to, you can cleanse me. Jesus put out his hand, touched him and said, I want to be clean. Then and there, the guy's skin was smooth, the leprosy gone. Now, can you imagine what that experience must have been like for that man? What would his response have been after meeting Jesus? Would he go around telling somebody? He would. It's just interesting what he would be saying. He'd say, I was a leper, but then I met Christ. Now I'm healed, totally and completely healed. You can just imagine his self-talk. If you had to listen to what he was saying to himself, it would be in the hours after that. He would say, this is unbelievable. Just moments ago, my skin was so angry that it was literally erupting. But now, look at it. It's clean. It's smooth. It's healed. Everything about me was rotting, moldy, diseased. But I've been recreated. It's as if I were never sick. This is unreal. Absolutely unreal. Where did my hopelessness go? My helplessness. They vanished with my sores. They're not here anymore. Jesus fixed all of that. I have hope. I want to live. I finally feel whole. See, now that's a physical healing, but a spiritual healing. When Jesus saves us, when we meet Christ, there's something powerful that happens. But you can see a before and after in the story. He was saying, I was sick, but now I'm well. I was diseased, but now I'm healthy. I was an outcast, but now I'm accepted. I was defiled, tainted, but now I'm as good as new. I was stained, but now I'm clean. I was left for dead, but now I have a future. Be interesting to know, what would the leper focus on? What would he say? What part of his story would he share with somebody, with his neighbors and his family? But you also have a before and an after. And that's about all people need to hear right out of the blocks. If you meet somebody and there's an open door, tell God's story, then tell your story. tell your story, how things changed, how you were before, how you experienced meeting Christ, and how the change came after that decision. Okay, so I'm going to give you a few examples of what you can use. You could be saying, before I was striving, if we can put that on the screen, striving, but now I'm at peace or grateful. I was self-destructive, but now I'm healthy. I was guilty, but now liberated. I was fear-stricken, but now I'm confident. I was despairing, but now I'm hopeful. And so each one of us also have a before and an after. And you can share it with somebody. It just has to be simple, humble, brief, and true. Preferably true. Now the challenge is when we share our story with somebody is that it can quickly and completely derail. There are a few traps when we're speaking to somebody about our stories. The first trap is the faith stories derail when a Christ follower just won't shut up. He oversupplies and just slaughters the demand. He goes on and on and on. And even after the listener sends out all the sort of warning signals, here the disinterest and disdain have taken root. The storyteller obviously just keep chatting away. Okay? So you need to know when to shut up. Okay? That's where the leading of the Spirit, don't push it. Our job is not to kick open a door. Our job is just to walk through an open door. Okay, so know when to be quiet. Second area is faith stories derail when a Christ follower is fuzzy about the story's core theme. Like she gets all tangled up in a dozen storylines and leaves her listener frustrated, exhausted, and baffled. What was that? Must be clear. It must make sense. Third, faith stories derail when a Christ follower lays out a string of four-syllable Christian insider words that no one outside the family of faith can understand. Okay, we're going to give you an example now of what it looks like when you do it wrong on the video.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of God. Thou shalt no longer be termed forsaken.
That's not going to work, okay? That's not how you do it. Get the religion knees out. And then a fourth area where your faith stories could derail. Now, this is a very important one. This is where your faith story will derail. It will blow up. It will leave a trail of smoke a kilometer long if you play the superiority card. If you act like you have your act perfectly together and the listener is somehow inferior to you, you're headed for the ditch and it won't work. Okay, let's look at that. Somebody...
I pray all the time now. I pray for friends like you, you know, whose lives are going nowhere. I pray for understanding that God will help me know what's wrong with people so that, you know, I can be a lifesaver for them.
Anyone else feeling nauseous after seeing that? That's a terrible attitude. But I tell you, that's how people see us, and that's sometimes how we come over. It's not a good idea. Now, if you ever see me do that, please take me outside and just put me out of my misery, okay? Just kill me, you know, just... Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Here's homework. We're going to do as a congregation this week. We're going to write down our stories, each and every one of us, our individual before and after faith story. But wait, there's more. Because I'm sure you were sitting here and wondering, well, if I do it, I don't know if it's going to be good enough. I would love somebody to give me a few pointers about it. So, to help you out, there's an email address that's going to come up. Right, there we go. Send your 100 word before and after faith story to Yanni. She doesn't know about this yet, but to Yanni at shofareastlondon.org by next week, Sunday. And then a team of us will read through it, and we're going to give you some feedback. Yes, yeah, work at it a little bit. Under 100 words, say, what were you before? Where were you at before you met Christ? And then the change that the Lord made in your life. And then you want to memorize that. You want to know that off by heart. If you meet somebody, you have an opportunity, you can just share it with them. Share with them what God has done in your life. Yes, this church is we're here to serve you. We bless you today. Come on. Okay, so do we have agreement here on that one? Come on. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, no Hephzibahs or Beulahs in your before and after. No, look at me, I'm super Christian. No 18-page renditions. We may not be able to reverse the bad perceptions people have about Christians all across the world. We may not be able to, but we can change the way people see us at this congregation. We can be different. We can do our part to cause this community to say, the Christians over there at Shofar, they know how to tell God's story. And to hear them talk about what He's done in their lives, it makes me want that type of thing for my own life. Imagine then. 1 Corinthians 14:9, ending off. It says, if you speak in a way no one can understand, what's the point of opening your mouth? So we need to be understandable. So let's do the one whose name we bear proud as we work hard to hone and shape and sharpen our before and after stories. Okay, 100 words or less. Emailed, written in a clear, brief, humble, simple manner, and have an open heart to a little bit of constructive criticism. Okay, yes. And the band's going to do an item now. If they may come forward. Just to remind us. It is the greatest privilege to be an instrument in the hands of God to speak into somebody's life who's far from the Lord. It is the greatest privilege. It is adventure. And I think we're going to have the words up as well of the song. So I just want you to receive. It's a song. It's a heart's cry of somebody saying, I want to be a part of somebody else's story. Imagine somebody emailing us, telling their story, and you were integral in bringing that story to pass. I think that is so powerful. Okay, I'm just going to pray for us. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that words are powerful. Our words are like a light. Our words can bring healing. Our words can bring transformation into somebody's life. And God, we thank you for the amazing story that you have. And what a privilege for us to be vessels, to be mouthpieces through which your story can be told. Thank you, Lord, that we can be like the prophets of old to speak on behalf of a loving, kind, and good God. Lord, we thank you for that. And so, Father, we pray for us, God. We pray that we would, each and every one of us, would become a walk across the room person. Each and every one of us, God, would be equipped empowered to step through the open door, to discern the open door, to step through the open door, and to speak in clear, understandable, and humble ways. Lord, we bless you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Part, I want to be a part of somebody finding love, somebody finding love unfailing. I want to be a part, I want to be a part of somebody finding life, somebody finding life everlasting. And I want to play a part, I want to play a part. Somebody finding hope, somebody finding hope in God of heaven. It's my desire, Lord, you would use me to change somebody else's destiny. I want to be a part, I want to be a part of somebody else's story, somebody else's story of redemption. I want to be the one, I want to be the one to shine the light of Jesus into their darkness. So lead me to that someone, I pray. Lord, I want to bring you glory, somebody else's story, somebody else's story. Well, I want to play a part, I want to play a part. Somebody finding comfort, somebody finding comfort when they're hurting. And I want to play a part, I want to play a part, caring for the widow, sheltering the orphan. It's my desire, Lord, you would use me to change somebody else's destiny. And I want to be a part, I want to be a part of somebody else's story, somebody else's story of redemption. I want to be the one, I want to be the one to shine the light of Jesus into their darkness. So lead me to that someone, I pray. Lord, I want to bring you glory, somebody else's story. Not meant to
God, this is a heart's cry, Lord. We ask for your grace to rest upon us, Lord, to be sensitive to your voice, to walk across rooms, offices, the gym, the beach, school, wherever, whenever. But God, may we have one ear tuned into you to listen when you speak and to just step out. Make a friend and share this amazing story with them. And so, Father, we pray for that, God. We pray, Lord, even for the Relationship Rescue series, Lord. God, we pray for those whose marriages are battling or relationship chaos. Maybe they need a lifeline of hope, and maybe we can give it to them. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd lead us to those people, broken, wounded, hurting, confused, far from you. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us has the privilege to walk through an open door and lead somebody closer to you. Father, we thank you for this. We honor you for this. And we say, we declare it, it will be. It will be. In Jesus' name.